The Lord be with you. This morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into fellowship. Today we want to spend a little bit of time talking about how we are to put our faith into action. And the reason why this is so important is because far too many of us are living the Christian life by fate or by chance, when we ought to be living it by faith or by trust. But let me emphasize, though, that this is not a name it, claim it sermon when you hear the theme, putting faith into action, but rather a read it and do it sermon. Okay? When we are working too hard and reaping too little, all because we have not yet put into practice how to trust God. First of all, a victorious Christian is one who lives the Christian life by faith and not by understanding. And what this means is trusting God enough to lead us through unfamiliar paths in life. As was read in our first reading this morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, and the verse 16 says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them, he says. So God says, follow me, but I must warn you that the path I'm about to take you on is not going to look familiar. Then we find several other warnings in the scripture, like in Isaiah 55, verse 8, where he says, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so are my ways from your ways, God says in this text. And then we see this to be true in a statement like this one, found in Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies. That doesn't make any sense to the natural mind. How can one love his or her enemy? From a natural perspective, when someone hates you, you hate them back. All right? When someone doesn't like you, you don't like them too. That's how we think in our mindset, in our philosophical mindset. We think that way. So God is calling you to a thing like this and telling you that the path that I'm calling you to is unfamiliar. You cannot rationalize it because you cannot understand it. He says, but trust me and come. This is the reason why he gives us faith. All right? Not understanding, not reasoning, but faith. And that's why we call ourselves as the church people of faith. And the reason we call ourselves people of faith is because you need faith to follow God. You cannot use your reasoning to follow God, because if you use your reasoning to follow God, you would be left with a whole lot of questions about many things that don't make sense. Okay? And so God comes and he gives us these kind of things. Remember, I said it earlier that, and I want to say again, that far too many Christians, if not all of us, are living the Christian life by fate or chance, by coincidence. And we say, in other words, we say that I'm doing it my way, and whatever happens, happens. So even though I'm in a church, and even though I'm a part of the body of Christ, I'm a Christian as I'm labeled, but I'm doing this Christian walk my way, and whatever happens, happens. You see, God is not happy with that kind of attitude. Remember, he says in Hebrews 11, 6, God says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God's saying that if a Christian decides to use his or her understanding to please him, he's never going to be pleased, because it takes his word to please him, and his word doesn't make sense to the world that we find ourselves in. All right, so God saying this to us, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is not pleasing to God Because God has plans for us. That's why it is not pleasing to him. He has plans for our lives. In Jeremiah 23:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. A plan to prosper you," he says, "a plan to give you an expected end." So God has a plan. Let me say, no one was born into this world by an act of chance. Everybody came into this life by the will of God. Listen to me, just in case you've been thinking that way, no one was born into this world by an act of chance. Everyone that was born into this world came based on the will of God. God has a plan for every life that was born and brought into this world. So this is exactly what the text is telling us here. You know, I was watching a post on Facebook the other day about this guy, a husband who was trying to surprise his wife, and he went and blindfolded her in the house and told her, "Let's go outside." And she's afraid and she's scared to go outside because she doesn't know what is out there. "Where are you carrying me? Why did you blindfold me?" And she's laughing, but then curious, but then excited, but then afraid at the same time. And he's taking her by the hands and he keeps on saying this word, "Trust me, trust me. Just follow me, trust me." And she keeps going, got to the door, and she's afraid to get outside the house. "Where are you carrying me? Where are you taking me?" "No, I don't want to go." And he got fed up with that and picked her up and took her outside and put her down on the pavement. And then he took the blindfold off of her eyes, and there was a brand new car bought for her birthday. And she was standing there speechless. That's the kind of thing God wants to do with us when he keeps on saying to us, "Trust me, trust me, trust me as I lead you." We may not seem to understand it, but we need to follow God by faith, not by understanding. Over and again, we find in Scripture where God is telling people to do senseless things. And they do them, and we see amazing results. But then, when they don't do it, we see not so amazing results. For an example, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God told them, "Don't eat of the fruit. Eat of everything else, but don't eat of the fruit. The day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die." And they went and tested God, and they surely did die. The spirit of man died. The moment man ate of the fruit that God told him not to eat of. We see the story with Abraham and Isaac. God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your one and only son, up on the mountain and sacrifice him." Now, this doesn't make sense to the natural mind. You give this boy to me, and this is the only son I have. And now you're telling me to take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him. God, this doesn't make sense. He could have sat down and tried to rationalize this thing. But no, he did not. All right? But by faith, he took his son and went up on the mountain to sacrifice him. And look what happened. An amazing thing happened up there. So he followed like Moses. God says, "Go to Pharaoh." Moses had ran away from Egypt, from Pharaoh, and ran all the way to miles and miles away. And God tells him, "Go back there to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go." It doesn't make sense. I ran away from this guy. How could you possibly send me back to the place I ran away from, God? It doesn't make sense. And rationalize it in his own mind, you know, and then walk away from it, from the whole idea. But no, Moses went, and look, the amazing thing that happened. We see the same situation with Jonah. God says to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent." Jonah the prophet said, "I'm not going there. Those people are wicked and they deserve to die." He gets in the boat and he's taking an opposite direction, going somewhere else. Look at what happened to him. A disaster, right? It was not in God's will. So we see this in the life of Daniel. In the lion's den, God was with him. He refused to follow the rule of the king, and they put him in the lion's den, but he got delivered out of that. The three Hebrew boys, the same thing. The widow of Zarephath, all right? There was a farmer in the land, and the prophet Elijah gets there and tells him, "I'm hungry, find me something to eat." And she says to him, "Are you kidding me? The only thing I got left is a last flour I have to make for my son and I to eat so that we'll die. And now you're asking me to fix you a meal? I don't have enough." Well, the prophet says to her, "Before you do that, you make me a meal first." Well, she went ahead and obeyed the prophet and did what he asked her to. Amazing result. Her womb never went dry. She went through the farming and came out alive and healthy and well. This is exactly what God wants to do in our lives, as he's asking us to have faith in him, to have trust in him, and follow him as he leads. Now, today in our gospel text is the story of a man who was born blind. Let's together see the condition under which this man took Jesus at his word. The first thing I want to talk about is the condition in the story. In John 9, verse 2, it reads, his disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And then, so you look at this situation, we see that this man had a physical condition. The condition was that this man was born blind. This was a result of a birth defect in him. All right? From a natural perspective, this was an irreparable situation. There was something that could not be repaired by any means. He was born blind. That's it. He was born. He came into this life looking like this. This is just like how all of us were born with a birth defect. Every single person born of a woman came into this life with a birth defect, and that birth defect is sin. The scripture says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Every person that was born into this life has sin in the life and need Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who is the remedy for sin. He's the only one who can rescue us from the perils of sin and death. So we look to him for that. The question is, what is that one thing in your life that seems irreparable to you? What is it this morning? And the answer is, there is nothing that our God cannot do. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot do. So we can put our trust in him and have faith in God. This man did not only have a physical condition, but he had a divine condition. Divine condition. Even though his condition looked physical, but God meant it to be that way. According to the scripture, look in John 9, verse 3. It says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." So nobody sinned. It was God doing his own will in and through this situation that we see happen here in this text. God allows bad situations in our lives as believers to bring glory to his name. And the scripture lets us know that all things work together for good to them who are called by God, who loves the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So God will allow bad situations to happen in our lives. We see the situation with Job in the Bible, where Job was cursed. And instantly, in one day time, he lost all of his children, lost his entire business. And as a matter of fact, got sick all over his body. It was sickness. And he could not even move from where he was sitting. But even yet, in that situation, he said, "Though he slay me, yet I trust him." And he yet continued to trust God. Look at the result that came out of that. So in James 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So God tells us to count it as joy when we are facing problems as Christians, because why? He is taking us through this situation and he's leading us to a better place. Now, let's just look at the confusion in the text. Let's look at the compliance in the text. In John 9, verse 7, he says, "Go," Jesus says, he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." And this word means send. So the man went and washed. Now, I want you to picture in your mind the scene of a blind man going to find the pool of Siloam. He's blind and he's walking with mud all over his eyes, and he looked very dumb to the public, walking, trying to go and find the pool of Siloam. Now, when you look at this story, amazingly, it shows you exactly what is happening in our world today. God chooses whatever he wants to choose to use as a means of grace. Okay? He chooses whatever he chooses to use as a means of grace, because he's God and he can do anything. And in this situation, God is using mud, he's using saliva, and he's using water as the means of grace to bring this man back to wholeness. Because he's God, he's able to use anything, and the blind guy is not questioning Jesus Christ. You know, where he's blind and then he's going, well, what are you putting on my eye? What is this you put on my eye? I'm blind, and you make me double blind and on this kind of talk. No. But he went to find the pool where Jesus sent him. All right. Even though Jesus had used some means to try to bring sense to something that was senseless, but then it didn't make sense to him at all. It's just how the world sees the church today. What we do here doesn't make sense to many folk. It doesn't make sense to people. People cannot rationalize God. They try to rationalize him. They can't rationalize him. And as a result, they walk away. Because it looks like foolishness when the natural mind tried to comprehend God. You cannot. This morning, we're about to baptize a little Owen this morning in this service. And as we do this, we are using one of the means that God has provided us to do that, means of grace, which is water baptism. Water baptism is something that a lot of Christians are questioning today. A lot of Christians question water baptism. And we are saying it has no significance. I had a Christian come up to me and talk to me about baptism. What significance does that have? There's no significance to baptism. It doesn't do anything. Well, the scripture says we must do that. Jesus' last command in the Bible, Matthew 28, is go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The church's work is to bring people in through baptism. It's what the Bible says. And all we are doing is following that. A lot of folks have not been baptized, and they don't take it seriously. This is something to take very seriously if you are a Christian. It is important because it is the means of grace that God has provided through which people come into faith into the church. And this is something that need not to be questioned, but it's something that we need to all partake of and become very joyous about. So this man complied to God's word. And he went ahead and had his face washed with water. And the moment he did that, he was blind. But then now he could see. And all of the darkness went away. It is exactly what God does as he leads us through this path that it seems unfamiliar to us. But God knows exactly where he is taking us. So as we journey with God in faith this morning, my prayer is that we will continue in that and be steadfast with God and allow him to lead us through this unfamiliar path. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Please let's rise and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gracefully thank you this morning for your word that has come forth. And we pray, God, that your word will meet us just where we are, each person, Father, one person at a time. And as we hear your word this morning, Father, may we be receptive to it. May we open up our hearts and receive what you have, Father, through your word. Because you say to us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing only your word. And we pray that the word will establish faith in our hearts this morning as we go through. Be glorified and exalted in every life here present. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.